Good morning, everyone. God bless you. It is so great to be in the land of milk and honey this morning. We are so thrilled to be with you. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 3. Joshua, chapter 3. I have a word from the Lord for you this morning. I want you to know that it would be hard for Mike to have asked me to be away from my congregation on a more difficult weekend than this weekend. So we just finished a huge conference at our church, ended about 1 o'clock in the morning, Saturday morning. I have 18 Maasai warriors at my church this morning, and they do what I call they Maasai jack the service. Once you give them the microphone, you can't get it back from them again. So, Pastor Mike, I left my poor associate there to deal with. We have a Saturday night service. We have 7 services between Saturday night and Sunday. 4 of them are in English, 3 of them are in Spanish. And I left my poor associate and got on a plane and left him to deal with the Maasai warriors that are marching around my church even as we speak right now. But that's all right. I want you to know I got on the plane yesterday. And there were thunderstorms in New York, and we just got settled in the seat, and the captain came on, and he said that the flight control had grounded all of the flights because of thunderstorms, but he said, I'm going to put a different flight path in the computer and see if it will accept it, and he did that, and they gave us clearance to take off, and we got up in the air, and he said, well, every other flight is grounded. He said we were the last one to get off the ground, and then I was on JetBlue, and I love JetBlue because everybody has their own television, and we just came off of a 4-day conference, and so I was just planning on kicking back and watching a little TV and just snoozing a little bit, and you know that my television was the only one on the whole plane that didn't work. So I said, oh, okay, God, what is it? And I planned to preach out of John 4 for you this morning about harvest time, but the Holy Spirit took me to Joshua chapter 3, and he gave me a word for you this morning. And so I hope you'll receive what I've come to bring. I gave birth, Renee, on the plane. I was writing like a madman and speaking in tongues the whole time, and the girl next to me had no idea what was going on. But we've brought you a word from the Lord today. Pastor Mike and Renee, we honor you this morning. My wife and I look at Mike and Renee as our spiritual father and our spiritual mother, and they have poured so much into our lives. And we honor you. We esteem you highly. Pastor Mike, we haven't spent a lot of time together, but I want to just honor you today. And it is critical. Your role here in the church and your partnership with Pastor Mike and Renee is critical to what God wants to do. And I just honor you this morning. If you have your Bibles, look with me at Joshua chapter 3. And I have a word called crossing over at harvest time. Crossing over at harvest time. How many of you are ready to cross over? It's time to get over to Jordan, and it's time for you to leave this place, and it's time for you to cross over, and it's time for you to go into that new building over on Kepler Road and cross into your promised land and the destiny God has for you. And something's going to happen in the spirit this morning that is going to bring, I find in my church that there's a shift first in the spirit. God does something first in the spirit realm, and then the answers in the natural realm follow it afterwards. And there is a shift that is going to happen this morning in the spirit realm. You are crossing over Jordan in the spirit realm this morning, and the answers to your prayers are going to come out. And Pastor Mike, the Lord gave me 120 days. I know your goal is to get in 90, but the Holy Spirit said to me 120 days. Not to get into the building, but miracles are coming within the envelope of 120 days from today. Look with me, Joshua chapter 3, and let's read verse 1. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim, and they went to the Jordan where they camped before crossing over. Everybody say that with me, crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp giving orders to the people. When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go since you have never been this way before. You need to look at those words again. You've never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Don't go near it. Joshua told the people, listen, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Jump down to verse 9, if you would, please. Joshua 3 and verse 9. Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Jebusites, and the Socialites." That's the inhabitants of Greenwich, my town. By the way, Renee, that is your 10 right there. I don't have anything significant to say about the number 10, but I have 10 pages of notes and I have 10 points, and I bring you Joshua 3:10 this morning. This is how you know that the living God is among you, and he will drive out your enemies before you. Look at verse 14 with me. "So when the people broke camp to cross Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them." Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. I want you to just say harvest time with me. They were at the Jordan at harvest time. "Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho." Note that. "The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground." Come on, pray with me. Father, thank you for this morning. I thank you for the people of God. I thank you for this place. I thank you for these pastors. Thank you for these leaders. Father, I thank you for the great things that you've already done and the great things that you're doing and the great things that you're about to do. Father, I pray that you'd come now by your presence and breathe life among us. The letter kills, but the words you give are spirit and life. Speak to us living words now from your holy scriptures. If your heart agrees with that, just say amen, amen. And amen. Well, I'm so glad to be here for part of your Feast of Tabernacles celebration. Got in late in the afternoon and was able to make part of the service last night. And Feast of Tabernacles is a harvest celebration. And I have a harvest time word for you this morning. I'm not going to teach on Feast of Tabernacles. My Messianic brothers who are here with you could do that so much better than I could. But I do have a harvest time word to release to you this morning. I want you to know that we are living in the greatest time ever on the face of the earth. We are living in the days of God's last great harvest on the earth. Jesus said, "The harvest is the end of the age." Do you know that the founding fathers and mothers of Pentecost, they believed that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at the turn of the last century was the outpouring of the promised latter rain to bring in the harvest before Jesus came back. And I want you to know, if you just look at the facts of history over the last 100 years, what they believed was absolutely right. Do you know that more people have come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord in the last 100 years than in all 19 centuries of the church before it put together? I want you to know that the fastest growing religion on the face of the earth today is not Islam. The fastest growing religion on the face of the earth is the Church of Jesus Christ. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people were saved. 3,000 people received Jesus Christ. I want you to know that today, every 29 minutes, 3,000 people around this planet become followers of Jesus Christ. This is the greatest moment in human history. Listen, I don't know about you, but I had to just take a little break from Fox News. I had to take a little fast from Fox News because I was a Fox News junkie. And, you know, I like their fair and balanced reporting, but I have to tell you the truth. They don't look at what's going on in the world today from this perspective of this word, they look at it through the perspective of men, through the eyes of men. And beloved, we are living in the days of the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. And what that means is that this is harvest time. And because this is harvest time, it also means that this is a time for great challenges. As we look at Joshua chapter 3, we find that the children of Israel had a huge harvest time challenge in front of them. Their big moment had come. They left Egypt, and now three books of the Bible later, 125 chapters later, 40 years later, they were so close to the promised land. Everything that they had been promised, everything that they had been hoping for and believing for, everything that they had waited and longed for, it was so close now that they could taste it. Pastor took us over to your new building. It is so beautiful. Thank the Lord for it. Thank the Lord for the vision of this leadership that gave birth to that property and to that new building. And you are so close now, you could just about taste it. Standing on at the banks of the Jordan River, they could just taste the grapes of Eshcol. They could taste the milk and the honey. They could hear the streams flowing in fields that were ripe with grain. They were so close, they could just reach out and touch it. But there was one itsy bitsy little problem. Between them and their promised land, there was a raging river. Jordan was at flood stage. There was a physical barrier between the children of Israel and their promised land. There was an uncrossable divide. Standing there on the banks of the Jordan, there was no bridge, there was no boat, and there were no breaks. And you know, as I think about it, there was not only a physical barrier in front of them, but there were psychological barriers as well. This whole thing just didn't feel right. The leader that they were following, it just didn't feel right. In this case, he was an untested leader. It seemed that his judgment couldn't be trusted. It seemed like he was just making things up as he went along. Let's just talk about that for a minute. I want you to take a walk through the pages of the scripture and look at how many of God's great leaders were just making it up as they went along, as they were led by the Spirit of God. How about Abraham? What's the Bible say about Abraham? It says that he went out not knowing where he was going. How about Moses? Look at Moses' prayer of intercession in the wilderness and around Exodus 33 and 34, and he gets down on his face before God. Now a million people are following him. He has led them out of slavery in Egypt, and now out in the middle of desert, he gets down on his face and he says, God, you told me to lead these people, but I have no idea where I'm going or how I'm going to get there. How about we talk about Joshua? We find out that Joshua had no idea how he was going to get over the Jordan till the night before. He had no idea how he was going to take Jericho till the night before. How about Gideon? He had no idea how he was going to beat the Midianites until the night before. How about Paul, who went out not knowing where he was going, but was led by the Spirit of the Lord? As I look at the great leaders in the Bible, I find that they had no idea how it was they were going to complete what God had called them to accomplish when they set out to accomplish it. But they started out in faith. And it would seem to me, as I look at the leaders in the Bible, what is important in a spirit-filled leader is not his ability to write a business plan, but his ability to listen to the voice of God. The leader, it just didn't feel right. The timing wasn't right. It was flood season. The place wasn't right. They were at a non-crossing, and they were directly across from Jericho, the most fortified city in all of the promised land. The plan wasn't right. What's the plan, Joshua? We're going to just march straight into a raging river, and it's going to divide in two when our feet touch the water. Great plan, Joshua. We're with you. And so not only was there a physical barrier in front of them, but there was a psychological barrier that they faced as well, a barrier of fear. Beloved, let me tell you something. A lot of times I find in life that the psychological barriers that we face are often even more daunting than the physical barriers. Because when we're confronted with an impossible situation, the answer is not in the physical realm. The answer is in the realm of faith. I wonder, what are the rivers that are standing in your way this morning? For you personally, what are the rivers that are standing between you and the fulfillment of God's promises in your life? What are the rivers that are standing between you and the destiny that God has called you to do? Maybe you're fighting some psychological barriers this morning. Maybe there you have a flood of fears or a deluge of doubt, or there's a current of confusion. Maybe you're facing rapids of regret over mistakes that you've made or over missed opportunities. Maybe there are some roaring relationship problems in your life. What are the things that have caused you fear and frustration in your heart so that you can't believe that God can get you across this river? Maybe you're facing some physical barriers in your life. I don't know how things are down here in Florida, but I want to tell you something. In Greenwich, Connecticut, the wealthiest town in the United States of America, we have been hit hard by this recession. I was at Willow Creek. Some of you know Bill Hybels, Willow Creek Church. I was visiting there. We were hosting a conference on their behalf, and so I flew out for some meetings, and I was walking through their lobby, and they had a sign, and it said, "Ministries to the Under-Resourced." I thought, that sounds so nice. In New York, we just say, "We broke." And I don't know how things are here in Florida, but I can tell you in the suburbs of New York, we broke right now. I had two people in my office, both who have MBAs from Harvard School of Business, both of whom have been out of work for more than 8 or 10 months. And these people are the whole package, the appearance, the demeanor, their speech, the whole thing. And they can't find work anywhere. Maybe you have a challenge in financial resources. Maybe doors of opportunities have closed for you. Maybe you're struggling with some kind of health problem in your life. What are the rivers that are standing between you and your promised land? I don't know what you're facing as individuals, but I do know what you're facing as a congregation. We've been there before. And we've not only been there before, we're there right now. Pastor Mike likes to say he and I are the only two pastors we know who are crazy enough to be in the middle of a multi-million dollar building campaign in the middle of this huge recession. And I know that between you and your promised land, there is a river right now, and there is a great financial need, the final push to get you into this new building. And I want to tell you that God has a word to release to you today that is going to help you to cross over at harvest time. So what do you do when there's a river running through? How do you cross over at harvest time? I have a few things to share with you out of this passage. First of all, how do I cross over at harvest time? First of all, learn to see signs and not circumstances. Learn to see things as signs and not circumstances. You know the old saying, I have good news and I have bad news. Well, in this case, there's bad news and more bad news. The bad news was that the person felt all wrong. The leader, his judgment was questionable. He had led them right into an impossible situation. The place was wrong. A non-crossing across from Jericho. The time was wrong. It was flood stage. The plan was wrong. Walk right into a raging river. That was the bad news, but there was more bad news on top of that. Moses was gone. The leader that they had trusted, the leader that they had known, he was gone. He was taken away from them. not only was Moses gone, but the mist was gone. The cloud that had accompanied them for 40 years through the desert, that had hung over their head, the presence of God in a visible sign in the sky that was a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Now, when it seems like they needed him the most, now that mist was gone. It had left them. And we read that the manna was gone as well. Moses was gone, the mist was gone, and the manna was gone. Listen to me, beloved. When God allows something to be taken away from you, it's simply because it has carried you as far as it can. Moses had carried them as far as he could. The mist had carried them as far as it could. The manna had carried them as far as it could. When something is taken away from you, maybe you've lost your job in this recession. Maybe you've lost your home in this recession. Maybe your 401k is now a 200 and a half. When God allows something to be taken away from you, it's because it has carried you as far as it can, but that doesn't mean that God has carried you as far as he can. See, there's some good news. The good news is God cannot change. The good news is God cannot lie. The Bible says God is not a man that he should lie, or the Son of Man that he should change his mind. If he has spoken, then he will surely bring it to pass. God cannot quit. Listen to me. God cannot quit. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it, the Bible says. Oh, we get that one wrong all the time. We think what that scripture says is, he who began a good work will be faithful to keep on working on it. He's working on it. He's working on it. He's working on it. That's not what the book says. The book says, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. And that means that if God got you into it, then God is obligated by his own character, and he is obligated by his own oath to bring you all the way through to the other side. If you had a miracle, if you've ever had a single miracle, if God ever got himself involved doing one thing for this church, then he is bound by his promise and his character to complete what he started in you. You receive the word of the Lord today. That's good preaching right there. I have to do that at my church. They don't help me, so I have to congratulate myself. The cloud that brought you security by night and comfort by day, it may have vaporized, but God has not left you uncovered. The manna might have disappeared, but God is not going to leave you without provision. When Elisha's brook dried up, God commanded provision for him from another source, because he is the God that commands provision over his people. Beloved, listen to me. You need to regard these things as signs that God is about to do something big. You know what it is? It's a divine setup. You never get a miracle until you need one. How many of you want to see miracles? How many of you want to experience miracles? Listen to me. You will never get a miracle until you are in a position where you need one. A miracle will never happen until you are standing on the banks of the raging river Jordan and you need to get to the other side, and there is no way in the human realm to do it. You will never see a miracle until you're in a position to need one. Learn to see signs, not circumstances. Secondly, follow God on the ground. Follow God on the ground. How do I cross over at harvest time? Learn to see signs. Secondly, follow God on the ground. It says, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, move out from your position and follow it. Joshua 3:3. Now, I want you to know that there were some significant changes that have taken place in the first couple chapters of Joshua. When you leave Deuteronomy, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and you move into Joshua, there are two significant changes. First of all, there's a change in human leadership. And there's a change in the who. Moses changes to Joshua. But I want you to know that the change in the who is not nearly as important as the change in the how. There's a change in how God works through human leadership. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. So there's a change in human leadership. Secondly, there's a change in God's location. There's a change in God's location. God goes from God in the sky to God on the ground. The visible sign of his presence with his people, there's a shift. Before, it was in the cloud that was over their head and the pillar of fire. He was God in the sky before, but now we come into Joshua and now he is God on the ground. He is God that is in the Ark of the Covenant. And so in Joshua chapters 3 and 4, the Ark of the Covenant is mentioned 15 times. So there's a change in human leadership and there's a change in God's location. And the change in leadership and location was a sign that God was doing new things in the earth. Before he was God in the sky, now he is God on the ground. What does that mean? Well, God in the sky, it means God before me. God in the sky means God behind me. It means God above me. It means God all around me. And it also means God beyond me. During the time of Moses' leadership, God in the sky was all about what God could do through the leadership of just one man. When the Red Sea was split, God used Moses alone to do the miracle. God spoke through Moses alone. God met with Moses alone. But in Joshua, listen, in Joshua, God on the ground is about what God can do through the partnership of many. God was working through human leadership in a new way. Now, there always has to be a set man. There always has to be a head, and you have a head. You have a senior pastor and his wife. You have pastoral leadership. You have a board, and you have congregational leadership. There always has to be a head. God had set Joshua in leadership, and Joshua heard from the Lord, and he set the course. But listen to me. In the book of Joshua, it is the people who carried the presence. God on the ground means now it's personal. It means you carry the presence of God inside of you. It means that God talks to you and God talks through you. It means that you are God's partner in miracles. Are you following with me? See, with Moses, it was stand back and see the salvation of the Lord. You remember from the Ten Commandments, right? Charleston Heston, and you remember Charlton holding up his staff and the wind blowing and the sea parting. With Moses, it was all about what God was doing through just one. But with Joshua, it's let's pick up that box and let's march together into our miracle. The Jordan, it didn't split until the people stepped into the river. The walls of Jericho, they didn't fall until the people marched around it. Beloved, listen to me. This is what the Holy Spirit gave me to give to you. In the next 120 days, there is a miracle of provision that is coming to this church like you have never seen before. But here's how it's going to come. It is going to come through you. Somebody ought to get happy. Yes. What that means is that God is about to open up the windows of heaven on you. We have some of the wealthiest people in the world that live in Greenwich, Connecticut. I have one man who is worth $100 million in my congregation. And do you know what? He's a sweet brother. I love him. But guess what? He didn't build our church. It cost us $7 million to buy. We have 10 and a half acres and a 20,000 square foot building. It cost us $7 million. And do you know who built our church? It was the poor of this world who were rich in faith and who wrote a pledge in faith that was above and beyond what they possibly could have ever met in the human realm. And God opened the windows of heaven, and bonuses and commissions and inheritances came upon the people of God like you have never seen. To be honest with you, today, when we all get together, we still don't know where the money came from. We had several people who worked in jobs that were, there was no bonus structure in their salary. They just had a straight salary and that was it, weren't commissions. But several people, their bosses walked up to them out of the blue and handed them bonus checks in the precise amount that they had written on their pledge card for our capital campaign. God on the ground means that God does miracles through his people. And there is a miracle in 120 days. There is a miracle of provision coming on this church, and it is coming through you. So you ought to rejoice and lift up your heads, because it means that God is about to open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessing on you like you cannot contain. God on the ground means he will go before you. God on the ground means he will guide you. It says, follow the ark. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. God on the ground means he will guard you. The ark stood firm in the middle of Jordan until the whole nation crossed over on dry ground. Beloved, how do I get over this raging river at harvest time? I follow God on the ground and I let him work through me. We sang a song this morning during worship, be glorified in me. Did you really mean that when you sang it this morning? Then I want you to believe God that he's going to make a miracle of provision for this church through you. That's good preaching right there. I'm preaching myself happy. All right, finally, how do I cross over at harvest time? Learn to see signs. This whole recession, it's just one big divine setup. Follow God on the ground. Believe that he's going to do a miracle through you. The last thing, trust the wisdom of his word, not the wisdom of the world. This is a faith venture. This is a spirit-filled church. God says it's not by might and it's not by power. It is by my spirit. Listen to me. Do you know what every business plan and every battle plan in the Bible have in common? If God didn't show up with a miracle, it was absolutely doomed to failure. Some people talk about that scripture that Jesus said, if you're going to build a tower, you ought to sit down ahead of time and count the cost. Let me tell you what that scripture means. You know what that scripture means? It's about the cost of following Jesus. And what that scripture means is, if you're not willing to break the bank and go all in, then you can't follow Jesus. Every battle plan and every business plan in the Bible has this one thing in common. If God doesn't show up with a miracle from heaven, it will not work. And if God doesn't show up with a miracle from heaven, you are never getting over that river into the promised land. But guess what? God is with you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Your own understanding is what you've been taught by others. Your own understanding is the wisdom you've gained by your own experiences. Your own understanding is what seems reasonable, what seems rational, what seems logical to you. But here's the problem with your own understanding. At best, your own understanding always falls short of God's best. God said, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. He is the God that does exceedingly abundantly above what we could ask or think. And so the problem with my own understanding is it falls so far short of what God has in mind. At worst, my own understanding can bring the worst results. There is a way, Proverbs says, that seems right to a man, seems rational, seems logical, seems reasonable, but the end is disaster. There is a wisdom from above, James says, that is spiritual, that is heavenly, and there is a wisdom that is earthly and carnal. Jordan flooded. Jordan flooded is the wisdom of his timing. Think about it. Why didn't God bring Israel to Jordan yesterday before the flood? Why didn't God bring Israel to Jordan tomorrow after the flood? Why did God bring Israel to Jordan today at flood stage? Why are you trying to finish this building project in the middle of a huge recession, the worst ever that we've seen in our lifetime? Maybe some of us were here. My parents were little children during the Great Depression. They were born in 36, 37. Maybe some of you are in that same category, and you remember my mom talks about the wartime, and you had to have a ticket to buy a pair of shoes, and everybody had victory gardens. Maybe some of you here remember that, but for most of us, this is the worst we've ever seen. Why now? Why couldn't God let us finish this building a year ago? Or why couldn't he have just held off the recession for another year till we got done? Why now? We're in the middle of a campaign. I want you to be encouraged. You're building 27,500 square feet. You're building it for around $6 million in change. We're right now trying to build 27,500 square feet for over $12 million in change. Welcome to New York, ladies and gentlemen. We launched our capital campaign last year on September 19th, and the bottom fell out of the stock market on September 12th. Everybody in my church works on Wall Street. Why now? Why did you bring me to Jordan today? Why couldn't it have been yesterday before the floods? Why couldn't it have been tomorrow after the waters calmed down? Why today? Why did you tell me to cross today? But listen to me. Jordan flooded is the wisdom of his timing. Jordan flooded means that God will move as soon as you're ready for the world, not when the world is ready for you. Listen to this. God said to them, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. See, why today? Because God finally saw you're ready to go today. Doesn't matter what's going on in the world. God's not waiting for the world to get ready for you. He's just ready to move as soon as you're ready for the world. See, what God cares about is your character, not the conditions in the world. You listen to me. God is not monitoring the stock market. God is not flipping through the Wall Street Journal this morning. He's not looking at the S&P 500. God is not watching the real estate market. He's not watching the job market. God is not watching the leading economic indicators. He's not watching the price of oil per barrel. He's watching you. And as soon as you're ready to move, he's ready to move. Jordan flooded means as soon as you're ready, he's ready. Jordan flooded means that God wants to block your pride. It means that God wants to block your pride. It says in Joshua 4:24, he did all of this. He brought them to Jordan flooded. He did all of this so that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. Why did God call you to be completing this building project in the middle of the worst recession in recent times? Why? Because God wants to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt to you and to the entire world that it was him who did it and not you. Unless the Lord builds the house, they who labor, labor in vain. I got so many good miracle stories. I don't have time to tell them. Jordan flooded means God wants to boost your faith for the future. This is how you will know. Joshua 3:10, this is your word, Renee. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and he will certainly drive out your enemies before you. See, the miracle of getting them over a flooded Jordan River, it was to boost their faith for everything that was yet to come. Do you know what I have found about the life of faith? You might not like this, but here's the truth about the life of faith. The challenges in the life of faith keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. They don't get smaller. After Jordan, there's a Jericho. After Jericho, there are giants. After giants, there is a whole land to be taken and to be subdued. And listen to me, beloved, you might not like to hear this today, but this challenge of getting over this river and into your new building, it's just the first of many to come. And God wants to give you this miracle to boost your faith for all the things that He has yet for this church to accomplish in the world. And that's good preaching right there. Jordan flooded, listen, this is my favorite one. Jordan flooded means that God wants to bless you with abundance. Jordan flooded means God wants to bless you with abundance. Look at Joshua 3:15. Now Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest time. Why did God bring them to Jordan at flood stage? To break them? Yeah. To brag a little? To show off a little? Yeah. But more than anything, the reason that God brought them to Jordan at flood stage is because He wanted to bless them on the other side of the river. It was harvest time. Think about this. God brought them to reap the harvest of Canaan that was someone else's harvest. The land flowing with milk and honey. There were orchards, there were vineyards, there were grain fields, and God brought them to Jordan at flood stage so that they could cross over and spoil the enemy on the other side and eat grapes that they hadn't cultivated and eat grain that they hadn't planted and eat vineyards that they had not themselves worked for. All the back-breaking work had been done by the Canaanites, the plowing, the planting, the watering, the cultivating, and God's people sweep in at harvest time and take it all and say, thank you very much. That is good preaching. Thank you. You're catching on. There's a little verse in Ecclesiastes. I want to give it to you. I don't know the reference. My people always complain. I never know the references. I'm terrible. But it says, to the man that does not please God, God gives the task of accumulating wealth to give to the man that does please God. Jesus said in John chapter 4, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, they are white and ready for harvest. And Jesus says, you will reap what you did not work for. Others did hard work, and you will reap the benefit of it. Why did God bring them to the Jordan at flood time? Because He wanted to bless them with the abundance of a harvest. There's a harvest waiting for you in this new building. Don't you be afraid. The day you move in, God is going to pour blessing upon blessing upon blessing and accelerated growth on this church. Things you've been waiting for in DeLand, the things you've been interceding for in Daytona and Volusia County, it is going to come when you step into that new building. Jordan flooded mean God wants to birth faith in unbelievers. He did this so that all the people of the earth, guess what? This town knows the story. They're watching you. They know how long you have prayed and fasted and sacrificed. They know how long that sign was out there on Kepler Road, future home of First Assembly of God, DeLand. They know how long it's been. They're watching. In Greenwich, Connecticut, everybody's watching our church. We have churches. I'm so out of time, Pastor. Please forgive me. God help us. But listen to me. One of my worst days in Greenwich, I can tell this story because I'm far away. I have a good friend. It took us about 5 years of fasting and praying and sacrificing and interceding to scrape together about $2.5 or $3 million. And I have a friend who pastors another church in Greenwich that's been there for 300 years. So I called him because the consultant we used for our capital campaign, I recommended to my friend, and they did a campaign. So I called a few weeks after they launched the campaign to see how it went. And I said, well, how's the campaign? My friend said, it went well. And I said, you mean the launch? And he said, oh, no, we're all done. In 6 weeks, they raised $15 million. And I'm on the other end of the phone. And I said, that's great. I know you're never that carnal. But I was. And our whole town knew the story. They knew we didn't have enough money to do what we did. But God did miracles. And guess what? Now we're in the middle of this huge building campaign, this huge building project. And I have people coming to me. I had a businesswoman, very, very prominent businesswoman, come to me 2 or 3 weeks ago. And she said, Pastor Glenn, she said she was trying to decide where God wanted her to go to church, deeply committed believer. And she was trying to decide where to go. She said, Pastor Glenn, every church in town is panicking and calling through the list of their members, asking them for donations because they are so far below budget. And she said, you people over here are just fearlessly charging ahead into this building program. And she said, when I saw that faith, she said, I knew this was the place that I was supposed to go to church. All right. Jordan flooded means God wants to burst your enemy's bubble. Means God wants to burst your enemy's bubble. It says in Joshua 5:1, now when all the Canaanite kings heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites, their hearts melted and they no longer had courage to face the Israelites. God is going to exalt. God's already exalted the platform of this church in this community and this whole region. But beloved, listen to me. You're getting a promotion when you cross over into that new building. God's just making the platform broader and wider. And there's going to be more influence in this city because of the completion of this project. Jordan flooded. Is the wisdom of his timing. Jordan first, musicians are our musicians. Would you please come help me? Jordan first is the wisdom of his tactics. Jericho first is the wisdom of his tactics. I want you to think about it. The Lord brought Israel to Jordan at flood stage. And not only was the river flooded, but they crossed right in the face of Jericho. Jericho was the most fortified city in the entire promised land. And if you think about that, that was the worst military strategy in the history of war. The children of Israel were not soldiers, they were slaves. They were untrained, they were unskilled at war. And Jericho was the big fish. Now, if you're weaker, conventional wisdom would suggest something different than crossing right in the face of the enemy. Conventional wisdom would suggest that you be stealthy, that you use the element of surprise, that you sneak up on them. Conventional wisdom would mean that you aim for incremental victories first. You don't go after the biggest guy first. You pick off a few little towns, a few little villages. You overcome, you know, if you're going to become the heavyweight champion of the world, you know, you don't start by taking on Mike Tyson. You start in the gym sparring with little guys and you get stronger and stronger and more confident and more confident. That would have been good military strategy. But instead, God had them cross over in the face of the strongest enemy in the whole land. That's what this means. Put that screen back up, beloved. Put that screen back up because you need to get this. Here's the word of the Lord. Jericho first. Listen. Jericho first means it's time to forego the incremental and go for the incredible. Jericho first means it's time to forego the incremental and go for the incredible. Everything we've done at my church has been incremental. We bought land, and then we raised a little more money, and we built our phase one building, and we outgrew that very quickly. So we raised a little more money, and we have a big air dome on our property. And everything we've done is incremental. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me one day a little over a year ago. And he said this to me, listen to this. He said, Glenn, let me know whenever you get tired of the incremental. And then we'll go for the incredible. First Assembly of God into land, you hear the word of the Lord. It's time to forego the incremental. And it's time to go for the incredible. Listen to me. Listen to me. Don't you settle for less than a completed project. Don't you settle for less than a completely outfitted building, a fully furnished, fully equipped building. Don't you settle for anything less than a campus that is a park and is beautiful in this community, is a beautiful. Don't you settle for anything less. There's something incremental in your thinking. I want you to get it out of your thinking today. You need to make a shift this morning. It's time you forgo the incremental, and it's time you go for the incredible, because the Lord your God is surely with you. Brother worship leader, I need you. Brother worship leader, I need you. Listen to this. We're going to sing that. What were we singing? Hallelujah, we want to lift you higher. We're going to sing that we sang during worship. Listen to this. Jordan flooded means my God is bigger than this river. Jordan flooded means my God is bigger than this recession. Jericho first means my God is bigger than my enemies. Jordan flooded means his ways are higher than my ways, and his thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Jericho first means some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Jordan flooded means lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They're white and ready for harvest, and you will reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you will reap the benefits of their labor. Jericho first means be strong and courageous. I will give you every place the sole of your foot shall touch, and no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I am with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Jordan flooded means the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Jericho first means do not be afraid or discouraged, because this battle belongs to the Lord. Jordan flooded means consecrate yourselves. Get ready, for the Lord is about to do amazing things among you. Jericho first means he is among you as the captain of the armies of heaven. Jordan flooded means this is how you will know. The living God is among you, and he will surely drive out the enemy before you. Jericho first means it's time to forgo the incremental and go for the incredible. First Assembly of God to land, receive the word of the Lord. Come on, stand together with me, would you please? Stand together. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, put your hands up in the air. And would you just begin to thank Jesus? Come on, just begin to thank Jesus. Come on, just begin to love on him for just 1 minute. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just love him for 1 minute. Just love him for 1 minute. Thank you, Jesus. Brother worship leader, will you sing that hallelujah? I want to lift you up that we were singing.